ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So we continue to read from Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Chapter 14, The Three Modes of Material Nature. Today we are reading text 11. So I'll read the word for word. Sarvadvadeshu Dehe Asmin Prakasaha Upajayate Jnanam Yadha Tadha Vidyat Vivridham Satvam Iti Uta Sarvadvareshu Dehesmin Sarvadvareshu Dehesmin Prakasha Upajayate Prakasha Upajayate Jnanam Yada Tada Vijat Jnanam Yada Tada Vijat Vivridhang Satvam Ichyuta Vivridhang Satvam Ichyuta Sarvadvareshu Dehesmin Sarvadvareshu Dehesmin Prakasha Upajayate Prakasha Upajayate Jnanam Yada Tada Vijat Vivridhang Satvam Ichyuta Vivridham Satvam Ichyuta Sarvadvareshu Dehesmin Prakasha upajayate, prakasha upajayate, jnanam yada tada vijat, vivridam sattvam ichyuta, vivridam sattvam ichyuta. Please repeat. Sarvadvareshu, in all the gates, dehe asmin, in this body, prakasha, the quality of illumination, upajayate, develops, jnanam, knowledge, yada, when, tada, at that time, vidyat, vivridam, increased, sattvam, the mode of goodness, iti uta, thus it is said. Translation: the manifestation of the mode of goodness can be experienced when all the gates of the body are illuminated by knowledge. Purport: there are 9 gates in the body: 2 eyes, 2 ears, 2 nostrils, the mouth, the genitals, and the anus. When every gate is illuminated by the symptoms of goodness, it should be understood that one has developed the mode of goodness. In the mode of goodness, one can see things in the right position. One can hear things in the right position. And one can taste things in the right position. One becomes cleansed inside and outside. In every gate there is development of the symptoms of happiness, and that is the position of goodness. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupang Sagrajatang Sagana Raganatang Vitang Tang Sajivang Sadvaitang Savadutang Parijana Saitang Krishna Chaitanya Devang Sri Radha Krishna Padang Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitangscha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kancha Nagorangi Radhe Brinda Vanishwari Vrishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayavacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Srimati Rasa Rasa Rambi Vangsi Vata Tastitaha Karshan Venu Svanar Gopir Gopinata Sriyesunaha. Srila Gopinath, who originated the transcendental mellow of the Rasa dance, stands on the shore in Vangsivat and attracts the attention of the coward damsels with the sound of a celebrated flute. May they all confer upon us their benediction. Hari Om Tat Sat. Sarvadvareshu Dehismin Prakasha Upajayate Gyanam Yada Tata Vidyat Vivridang Sattva Mityuta. So, we're reading the three modes of material nature. The chapter starts, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is Lord Krishna, said, again I shall declare to you the supreme wisdom, the best of all knowledge, knowing which all the sages have attained the supreme perfection. Prabhupada says in the purport of the first verse of the 14th chapter, from the 7th to the end of the 12th chapter, Sri Krishna in detail reveals the absolute truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now the Lord himself is further enlightening Arjuna. If one understands this chapter through the process of philosophical speculation, he will come to an understanding of devotional service. So that is, of course, a very important sentence, because many times devotees, they have a red flag or red traffic light or all kinds of red lights when they heard the word speculation. Don't speculate, Prabhu. It's sometimes the devotees say it's one of the four principles. No gambling and no speculation. So, of course, gambling and speculating, it's very similar. Like you can speculate on the, how do you say that? The stock exchange. People speculate on the stock exchange. So, yeah, you could make a case that that is business. Still, it is called speculating. So, I'm not sure if it is recommended for devotees. Although, I know a story of Shama Sundar. It's in the memory tapes, where he and Prabhupada were in, I think it was Geneva. And Shama Sundar, he had bought gold. I think it was gold. Him and Srila Prabhupada, they were sitting on this bench, and they were looking at the gold, at the gold exchange. They were looking at this computer, and the gold was going up and down. And of course, they were waiting for the gold to come up, so they could sell it at a good price. But you know, as it many times goes with devotees, Lakshmi is not so favorable. Especially to brahmanas, because of the offense of was that Ambarish Maharaj? I don't remember. But some brahmana kicked Lord Vishnu on the chest, And Lakshmi became very, very upset about this. And therefore all the Brahmins are in general cursed by Lakshmi Devi that they will have to remain very, very poor. So I'm not sure if that had anything to do with it, but the fact of the matter was that the gold didn't really go up, went kind of up and down, and Prabhupada got impatient, and after a few hours, it was not a few minutes, they were actually, according to Shamasundar, sitting there with Srila Prabhupada, probably resting his hands on his cane. They were sitting there for a couple of hours looking at the gold price going up and down. And at some stage, Prabhupada got fed up with it, and he said, just sell it, you know, this is just staying too much time. And this is what I understand from Dhananjay, that, you know, devotees, of course we don't gamble. Gambling is gambling. It's also, you know, even though it's now kind of getting illegal, legal, but still, even though Kali Yuga has already progressed 5,000 years, it is more or less illegal. It is allowed, you know, like in Nevada, this is where Las Vegas is. In that particular state, it is allowed. But in most states in the United States, gambling is not allowed. In Holland, in general, gambling is not allowed. The state used to have one casino called Holland Casino. And that was the only casino, basically, that was allowed. Now, I think they kind of opened up the market, but it's still very much restricted. So, you know, there's still some culture. And at least, for instance, eating meat, especially with the Muslims, there are restrictions. So also with gambling, even though Kali Yuga has progressed 5,000 years, there is still some restrictions. So gambling means, you know, putting money in a slot machine and going to a casino, that is gambling, and that is not allowed. So, but here we see Srila Prabhupada, he was... Well, I mean, there's really no other word for it. They were speculating on the gold market or the price of gold. The rule, however, what Dhananjaya explained to me is that a devotee, he doesn't waste too much time with this. So you can try and speculate and buy gold and wait till it gets some more because it's not really gambling. But we don't waste too much time on it. We don't make... if you're a grihastha, you might make a business out of it. So that is allowed, but in general, also as a grihastha, we don't get late for, you know, Mangal Arati or for Gaura Arati. We don't let it run our lives. What we let run our lives is Krishna. Prabhupada says all initiated disciples must come to morning and evening classes. So Prabhupada says the secret of success is to follow the orders of the spiritual master. And if we do that, then we will be successful. So that is what we let rule our lives, not the stock exchange. The stock exchange might open and close at a certain time, but the devotee doesn't care. He rather makes a little bit less money than come late for Mangal Arati. So the general rule is that we can do something, but we don't waste too much time with it. So that is just to explain this word speculation, because sometimes I think devotees get a little bit too fanatical about it. Of course, it's also good to be fanatical. If you want to be fanatical, it's good. You know, but don't try to bash other devotees who might make a living and need to, you know, speculate on the stock exchange to, you know, feed their Krishna conscious children. Don't bother them with your fanaticism. You can be fanatic with yourself. That is good. So anyway, here Prabhupada says, if one understands this chapter, this 14th chapter, through the process of philosophical speculation, he will come to an understanding of devotional service. So Prabhupada here, he says that we must understand this chapter through the process of philosophical speculation. So I'll be honest with you, I don't know exactly what it means because I'm a devotee like anybody else, and I also always been heard and told, don't speculate. So we don't even really know what it means, philosophical speculation, but we can make an educated guess, as Prabhupada says. It means that we have to discuss it. We have to discuss this chapter from all points of view, different angles. We have to you know, look at the verses and try to understand it. What does Krishna mean? What does Prabhupada means in the purport? And then he will come to an understanding. So we can either, you know, by our own philosophically speculate, but better is to do it together with devotees. So this very important chapter, this 14th chapter. And again, I will repeat it. We have to understand this chapter through the process of philosophical speculation. And then, Prabhupada says, you will come to an understanding of devotional service. Just see. Like this morning, we talked about the practicality of Krishna consciousness. So Krishna consciousness and devotional service are synonymous. So the answer to that question was more or less a question that Dinadaya asked, is given here in the 14th chapter. We have to speculate philosophically on the 14th chapter. And then we will come to an understanding, or you could say a practical understanding, of devotional service. Devotional service is always practical because it is service. So service means practical. Stop, you know, philosophical speculating. And start to do something for Krishna. But what we have to do, how we have to do it, that we need to understand. That is important, because we were already doing it, but we made a mistake. And that is why we are now here, suffering with the material body. So we have to re-understand it, we have to remember it. We have to become educated. We are in the prison house. We are criminals. Our mind cannot be trusted. We need to be educated. That is the whole idea of a prison. People might not know it nowadays because Kali Yuga has progressed so much that prison are more or less, people get worse by it. And sometimes people accuse ISKCON that if you are an ISKCON, you will get worse of a devotee. Better to stay away from ISKCON. Of course, this is not true at all. Practically, we don't find this. We see that people who are in ISKCON are generally way more advanced than people who are outside of ISKCON. Like Prabhupada says in the fourth canto with Dhruva Maharaj, anybody who thinks he can make advancement outside of the association of devotees lives in a great fantasy. It's a dream, Prabhupada says. I don't know exactly what he says, but something like that. It's a fantasy. And just before that, he mentions that association of devotees, practically speaking, means ISKCON. So, we need to stay in the association of devotees. And we need to understand this chapter through the association of devotees. This is very important. Prabhupada says here, I'll repeat it one more time, just to refresh my mind. If one understands this chapter through the process of philosophical speculation, you will come to an understanding of devotional service. Yes, so practical. Devotional service is practical. So we need to know what we need to do. That we can learn by understanding this chapter. And we can also, like I said, together with devotees, but we can also ask our spiritual master. If something is not clear from this 14th chapter, we can ask the spiritual master. So Dinadayali was asking this, how can we be practical? So again, if we understand this chapter through the process of philosophical speculation, we can have come to an understanding what devotional service is. And I was explaining that devotional service, by definition, means practical. It is a service. In the 13th chapter, it was clearly explained that by humbly developing knowledge, one may possibly be freed from material entanglement. So that 13th chapter was called Nature, the Enjoyer, and Consciousness. That is also a very technical chapter. Prabhupada says at the end of that chapter, sometimes people outside of ISKCON, they say, You know, we don't need a spiritual master or the so-called living spiritual master, because they believe that you can just learn everything from Srila Prabhupada. Then here Prabhupada says in this purport, he says very clearly, these things, the 13th chapter, are meant for contemplation and for realization, and one should have a complete understanding of this chapter with the help of the spiritual master. So if, you know, if it's enough to have Prabhupada's, you could say, association, then why does he say here you need the help of the spiritual master? That sounds to me that it is practical. You need the help of a spiritual master who says this is the 24 elements and this is knowledge, because that is explained in the beginning. And Arjuna is asking these questions. Let me see if I can find it. It's a very important chapter, this 13th chapter. Yeah, he says, "Hear my brief description of this field of activity and how it is constituted." And then he goes on, "That knowledge of the field of activities and of the knower of activities is described by various sages." Krishna continues in text number 5 of the 13th chapter. And then he explains these, well, it's not only the 24 elements, but he explains a whole set of elements. And then, after that, then he says, he has a whole list, starting with humility. He says, "All these I declare to be knowledge. And besides this, whatever there might be, is ignorance." So, you know, I'm from Amsterdam. I don't want to say it's the Mayavadi capital of the world, but it's definitely in the top 10 of Mayavadi cities. And there are people always saying that, like, I, you know, especially before I joined ISKCON, I had always had these discussions with my friends. And they're always saying, "Well, that is your opinion, and I have my opinion." I was going like, "No, it is not my opinion. The truth is the truth. And if the truth is the truth, then you cannot have your opinion. You should, you know, be in line with what the truth is." And they could never accept that. They're always saying, no, you know, you can, you know, think whatever you want to think, and that is truth for you, but it's not truth. No. Krishna says here, besides this, whatever there may be, it is tamas, ignorance, darkness, or maya. It is just nonsense. So, very important chapter, and that this also, it must be studied with the spiritual master. And we can bet our bottom dollar that this is the truth. This is knowledge, humility, pridelessness, non-violence. I gave many classes on this. We could give more classes, but we won't do that because we want to focus on the 14th chapter now. So, but that was the 13th chapter. And so just to refresh your memory, Prabhupada says from the 7th to the 12th, which according to some devotees, is the most important part of Bhagavad Gita. They say it's a sandwich. You have two slices of bread, and in the middle is the wiener. The wiener, the piece of meat, or the cheese. Well, I don't know exactly. There are some, it's not that devotees make these things up. That there, I think there might be some acharyas that say that. But here Prabhupada very clearly says that this 13th chapter is more important than the 12th chapter. And although Prabhupada says here also about the 7th and the 12th chapter, he says, "Sri Krishna in detail reveals the absolute truth. But now," Prabhupada says, "Krishna is further enlightening Arjuna." And then he says, okay, I can read it one more time. I mean, let's have the record of reading one sentence in a class like 10 times. "If one understands this chapter through the process of philosophical speculation, he will come to an understanding of devotional service. In the 13th chapter, it was clearly explained that by humbly developing knowledge," I just explained it, "one may possibly be freed from material entanglement. It has also been explained," that is also in the 13th chapter, that it is due to association with the modes of nature that the living entity is entangled in this material world. Now, in this 14th chapter, Krishna explains what those modes of nature are. So in other words, Krishna is saying, this is how you get out. You have to develop knowledge, starting with humility. And you get entangled, like we go, it's explained, we become Lord Brahma. Like we're in the spiritual world, somehow we made a mistake. We developed some desire to lord it over. There is only one Ishvar, but some other, we are minutely like Krishna, so we have some Ishvar Bhav in that, which you need to have your individual power, your individual creativity to serve Krishna in your own individual way. This is how Krishna's enjoyment gets increased, but it always has to be under direction of Radharani and her gopis. And if we get too much in the Ishvara Bhav, then Krishna says, oh, very good. Why? I have this big, big universe, and I really need somebody to manage it. Would you please like to do that? And then we're like, oh, Krishna is asking me to manage the universe. Yes, it's very important. I will do that. Instead, we should, of course, said, oh, Krishna, I'm so sorry. I know I made an offense. I don't want to manage the material universe. I want to stay in your association. But no, we didn't do that. We were puffed up, and we were thinking, yes, I'm very important. I need to manage the universe. It's just like a toilet. It's like a punishment. But we didn't realize it, and now here we are. Because what happens is that we get entangled by the modes of nature. It's explained that we look down to the heavenly planets, and we think, wow, what Lord Indra is doing, that looks really ecstatic. And then we become Lord Indra, and then we make offenses, and then we come down to the planet Earth. And then generally it is explained that we go even more down till we go down to the insect or even lower, and then gradually we climb up again. So the point is that we get entangled by the material modes of nature. That is the cause of our ignorance. So that is explained in the 14th chapter. What are these modes? Prabhupada says, in this chapter, Krishna explains what those modes of nature are, how they act, how they bind, and, just hold on to this, how they give liberation. So we always learn the modes entangle you. Even the mode of goodness, it is bad, 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 bad. We have to become transcendental, Prabhu. No, 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 no. Mode of goodness is not optional. We must come to the mode of goodness. That is why Prabhupada says to all who is twice initiated, you must take 3 showers a day, at least 2 showers a day. That will bring you to the mode of goodness. It is a machine, the body is a machine, and it responds to things like dhotis and tilak and 3 showers a day and eating in the mode of goodness, eating prasadam, eating nice prasadam, cooked in ghee, made by twice initiated brahmanas who are taking 3 showers a day. It's a whole science, and we can increase or decrease. It is all a matter of degree. Like if Prabhupada cooks prasadam, it is not the same if someone like, who's not Prabhupada. Like, let's not get too, difficult about it. One of Prabhupada's disciples, they will immediately admit, yes, my cooking is not the same as Prabhupada's cooking. Of course, in general, we try to avoid thinking like this. We don't try to make too much distinction. But we must see that there are degrees. There are degrees of devotees. This is called Majjhimadhikari. And we want to have the best, the most pure devotees working in the kitchen. But this is very, very, very important. And George Harrison, he got this point. He said, you are what you eat. He even wrote a song about it. So this is one of the most important things, if not the most important thing, is what we eat. Prabhupada says this is the diet, and chanting Maha Mantra, that is the medicine. So a medicine without a diet, it's useless. And a diet without a medicine, it's actually not so bad. At least if you have a diet without the medicine, you'll still be all right. But a medicine without a diet, it's like, it's craziness. So the diet is essential, I would say. It is essential. So it's a very technical process, and my point is that we need to increase the mode of goodness. It is not optional. The more we can get into the mode of goodness, the better it is, and we should try to encourage each other. We should not think too much about high philosophy, transcendental this, transcendental that, Krishna this, Krishna that. No, mode of goodness is very technical. We know what it is. Get up early, take a shower, come to Mangalarti, eat regular. It is very clear what it is. Don't eat outside, you know, don't eat in restaurants, don't eat pizza. We don't want to hear these things. But that's what it means, mode of goodness, and we should try to encourage each other to do that. Not that we, you know, well, I mean, I'm now giving the lecture, so I have to, you know, give it to you straight a little bit. I mean, that is a little bit the duty, otherwise, you know, what am I doing here? Of course, maybe I cannot say it's so palatable, so that I can work on. But even if it's not so palatable, still the truth has to be said. And the point is that we have to encourage each other, not that we bang each other on the head. But in practical life, we try to give the example. And if we see somebody going into Maya, we have to try to inspire that person to, you know, to come to the mode of goodness. So, let me see. In the 30th chapter, it was clearly explained that by humbly developing knowledge, we may possibly be freed from material entanglement. And now in this chapter, Prabhupada says, Krishna explains what those modes of nature are, how they act, how they bind, and how they give liberation. The knowledge explained in this chapter is proclaimed by the Supreme Lord. So here it is. So maybe acharyas can say it's a sandwich. But here Prabhupada says it is proclaimed by Krishna to be superior to the knowledge given so far in other chapters. It's here, Prabhu's black and white in the purport, and Prabhupada even says that it's Krishna. I can give you the Sanskrit. It is the beginning of the third chapter. He says, Param Bhuja Pravakshami. So Pravakshami means I shall speak. Bhuyaha means again Param Transcendental. And then he says, Gyananam Gyanam Uttamam. Gyananam, of all the knowledge, Gyanam Uttamam, this knowledge is the supreme. So it's there. It's there in the Sanskrit. And the translation is, again I shall declare to you the supreme wisdom, the best of all knowledge. So from that, Prabhupada concludes that this knowledge is superior to the knowledge in the previous chapters. And what is this chapter called? The three modes of material nature. How important is that? By understanding this knowledge, various great sages attain perfection and transfer to the spiritual world. The Lord now explains the same knowledge in a better way, Prabhupada says. This knowledge is far, far superior to all other processes of knowledge, thus far explained. There you go. We keep hanging up on this seventh chapter, devotional service. That's what it's all about. That's the essence of Bhagavad Gita. No, 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 no. Prabhupada says here, this knowledge in the 14th chapter is far, far superior to all other processes of knowledge, thus far explained. And knowing this, many attain perfection. Thus it is expected that one who understands this 14th chapter will attain perfection. So this was a very important purport. So that was my introduction to the class. This ISKCON is a school. It's a school of knowledge. It's all about knowledge, Bruce. Confirmed. Okay. So today, very nice, important verse. It's about the mode of goodness. Again, I repeat it. When one dies, let me see. Oh, no, that is 14. We're in 11. Okay, I'll read it again. The manifestation of the mode of goodness can be experienced when all the gates of the body are illuminated by knowledge. I'll be honest with you, it is, for me, this is quite cryptical. I have no idea what it means. I mean, I have some idea, but it's like, I wish I knew what it meant, because then I was probably not be sitting here. I probably was already in the spiritual world. Anyway, we have to, that is what Prabhupada said in the beginning, philosophically speculate. We have to try and understand this verse. Prabhupada explains, there are 9 gates in the body. 2 eyes, 2 ears, 2 nostrils, the mouth, the genitals, and the anus. When every gate is illuminated by the symptoms of goodness, it should be understood that one has developed the mode of goodness. So that is Prabhupada's purport. That is his explanation. Krishna says, the gates of the body are illuminated by knowledge. He says, the manifestation of the mode of goodness can be experienced when all the gates of the body are illuminated by knowledge. Sometimes Prabhupada says, you just have to, if you don't understand it, you have to read it again and again and again. So that is also a way, instead of philosophically speculating, just reading it again. Anyway, the way Prabhupada explains it is that the mode of goodness is illuminating the gates. The gate is illuminated by the symptoms of goodness. So we have to break this down. Huh? I mean, you know, I have no idea exactly what the symptom of goodness is of the anus, to say something, you know, weird. But it's not really weird. Prabhupada says there's nothing weird. We discuss everything in Krishna consciousness. We have no shame for anything. Because shame means, you know, we all know that we have a super soul sitting in our heart. So shame basically means that we're doing something which is against the super soul. It is called a conscience. That is why we feel shame, because we have a conscience. This conscience is the super soul. So shame only is there if we are guilty of doing something illicit. So if we are ashamed to speak about semen, that means that, you know, that we have some wrong idea about it, some illicit idea. But like Sukra Acharya means the seminal Acharya. So in Vedic culture, semen means progeny. And it can also mean power, tejas. So the whole Vedic culture is completely open, and it is completely different if you compare it to the Kali Yuga culture, which is centered around these four sinful activities. Illicit sex, I guess that is the main one. Gambling, we already discussed it also. And then, of course, meat eating. And intoxication. So everything is centered around that in the Kali Yuga. So when we discuss something like anus or genitals, we start to laugh because we think about all kinds of illicit things. So anyway, I will not pretend to be any different than that. So we will not focus on that for now. Although genitals, we could make a remark that, of course, the genitals, well, generally they shouldn't be used, but if you want to use them, then they should be used in marriage. And Prabhupada explains they should only be used to make Krishna conscious children. So that is one way of using the genitals in the mode of goodness. Although in general it is not recommended, better not to use the genitals at all, at least not for having sex. And even if you want to use them, then you have to stop using them when you become 50. That is the recommendation of the Vedas. And in general, Prabhupada says it is not optional. You must get out when you're 50. Of course, Prabhupada also, that is always the argument that devotees use. Prabhupada was 54 or 57. Of course, Prabhupada, when people talked about Jesus like that, that Jesus was eating meat, Prabhupada used to say, Jesus can eat the whole universe. And we are always very quickly to say, you know, Jesus was eating meat. Prabhupada got out of the Grihastha ashram when he was 57. Okay, but what did Prabhupada do after that? He went to Delhi and he almost got pierced by a cow. And he was completely living very, very austere in Vrindavan. And then he went to New York in the hippie time. And he went to the Bowery, which was a horrible, horrible place. It actually still is. And the Prabhupada performed amazing austerities, tolerating all the crazy hippies. We don't want to get too personal, but it must have been very, very austere. The point is that, why don't we focus on that? Like, another example we can give is Lord Brahma. Sometimes devotees, they say, yeah, Lord Brahma, he wanted to have sex with his daughter. But Prabhupada explains that the whole idea of that example is to think, oh, even Lord Brahma had some attraction for his daughter. How careful I should be. So we should take it in the positive way. That we should try to follow what Prabhupada says. And we should try to follow the positive things. When Prabhupada explained in the Back to Godhead, 1954, something like that, the old Back to Godhead, that to do no wrong, and it says that the king can do no wrong. It's an English proverb. And Prabhupada says, this is 100% applicable to Lord Krishna. So basically anybody can make a mistake. Only Krishna, he never makes a mistake. Whatever he does is perfect. So and Nityananda is also no exception. He is not different from God. He's not different from Balaram. Balaram is Vishnu Tattva. So whatever Lord Nityananda is doing is completely perfect. But because we're also discussing gradations. How much are we in the mode of goodness? It's about gradation. So the more you go down from Lord Nityananda, the more that thing becomes tricky. The king can do no wrong. The guru can do no wrong. So in general, we should always put it in our forefront of our mind. My guru can do no wrong, even though it might look like he does something wrong. We don't consider it. And even devotees, we try not to consider it. But we have to also use our intelligence. So, but we try to focus on that, you know, Prabhupada and our guru does not do anything wrong. So we don't want to focus on Prabhupada coming out of the Grihastha ashram when he's 57. We want to focus on Prabhupada preaching like anything to the hippies. And Prabhupada being in the mode of goodness. So anyway, it has to be given up. That is the point. Now we have to cut it short. There's 9 gates. Oh, now I can cut it short. We have 2 eyes. So with the eyes, we can look at Radha Gopinath. This is mode of goodness. 2 ears. We can listen to Manu singing. 2 nostrils. Well, I don't know exactly about that. That's a tricky one, actually. Prabhupada says we should smell the flowers. And the mouth. The mouth is to vibrate. And we already discussed that the mouth should taste prasadam, and preferably prasadam cooked by super advanced devotees. So anyway, I'll stop there. The conclusion is that we have to study this 14th chapter and that we have to come to the mode of goodness and that we have to increase going to the mode of goodness and help also others to come to the mode of goodness. And then we can more and more understand this chapter and we can more and more understand who is Lord Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.